Tired of just listening? Then speak your piece. Phone lines are open at 792-5378 or toll free 877-274-8916. Now back to News and Views with James Williamson.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have you tuning in. It's 9:34 in the morning, and it is Tuesday, the third day of October. Glad to have you. Now, folks, we have a guest in studio, Greg Forrest, musician, entertainer, writer, speaker, author, I don't know what all. But that's just some of the things I'm aware of. Now, we've had Greg in studio before. Greg, good morning.
Thanks, James. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here. And we get to talk subjects of the day and what's happening. And he wanted to talk a little bit about this Foley fella from Florida. You like that alliteration? Foley fella from Florida? I prepared that, yes. Let me introduce the Foley fella from Florida with a couple of stories. I found this one today, October 3rd, page 4A, Kerrville Daily Times. It's kind of an editorially kind of piece. It's from the Houston Chronicle. And it's reprinted in the Kerrville Daily Times. The scandal surrounding U.S. Representative Mark Foley, the Florida Republican who resigned on Friday, improves Democrat chances to reign and regain a majority in the United States House of Representatives. However, partisan advantage is a long way from being the most salient feature of the story. Foley, this is good, makes a powerful example not only of corruption in high places, but also of the U.S. political arena's boundless capacity for hypocrisy. The more some politicians talk of God, country, honor, and the sanctity of the family, the more likely it is that they have little regard for any of them. See, here's one thing about that. At least the Democrats make no pretense of that. They don't give a rip. So you see, there's no standard to hold accountable when you don't give a rip from the word go. But on the Republican side, where they at least talk that, and then you have this occur, well, of course, you got hypocrisy bigger than Dallas. Okay, Foley focused his political career on efforts to punish sexual predators and protect children from them. Now, until his resignation, he co-chaired, get this, the Congressional Missing and Exploited Children's Caucus. He was the author of key sections of legislation to outlaw the online solicitation of sex with a minor. Yet at least for a year, he grotesquely exploited his association with young House pages, sending several of them overly friendly, sometimes sexually explicit, electronic messages. House Speaker Dennis Hastert, Republican of Illinois, said at various times that he didn't know about the problem with Foley until the scandal became a public issue last week, and that he couldn't remember being appraised of the situation months ago. Further on in the article, the House leader's longstanding knowledge of Foley's indiscretions is perhaps the most disturbing element, because some say they were aware of this behavior and had known for quite a while. So there is a problem with the Foley fellow from Florida, and it's quite obvious what it is. Now, one more. This is the same subject, Wall Street Journal. That was Houston Chronicle, reprinted in the Kerrville paper. This is Wall Street Journal, page A4, October 10th. Republican leaders scramble to contain Mark Foley fallout. You know, the Foley fella from Florida fallout, that one. Pummeled by Democrats and their own self-doubts, Republicans worked to get ahead of the Mark Foley page scandal, with the White House moving toward a criminal investigation that might take some heat off the party. Speaker Dennis Hastert formally asked Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez to begin an inquiry the other day, and in his letter requested that the investigation look at Foley's conduct on some of the most sexually explicit messages that were kept secret for as long as 3 years. Folks, we have an interesting bit of information. Now, Greg, where do you want to start in on our fella from Florida?
Well, you got it. You hit the nail on the head there, James, regarding GOP hypocrisy. They talk a big game about being, the party of faith and the party of family values. And we turn around and find that the person that they put in charge of protecting our children against being exploited and against sexual predators, they put a gay pedophile in charge of that. And I would say that's not family values. If I was in the Christian right now, I would be furious with the GOP.
I
would be furious.
And I am.
You know, it's astounding that they could sit on this for a year. And I mean, I guess it could get really nasty because if our buddy Foley did anything.
And he may have.
We don't know that yet.
And I'm not saying he did. Well, I understand.
But I'm saying if it comes to light that he did anything,
right,
then we have the Speaker of the House protecting a gay pedophile for over a year while he's still exposed to children.
Yeah.
Now, if that's a family value, then I vote for Democrats this time. Yeah, I'm not a Democrat. I will not.
Yeah.
I will not vote for a party that supports gay pedophilia.
Well, the thing is, then, you can't vote for the Democrat Party because they do.
Where's that? When was the last Democrat arrested or indicted for gay pedophilia?
They don't, because to them it's okay. It's all right. They don't
give
mind.
Give me a break,
now, but
James.
Let's come back to the
point. If there's
a
Democrat out there listening to us that approves of gay pedophilia, please call in. I'll bet they're quite rare.
Let's see. What was that Gary Studd's name from Massachusetts? What was he doing? Let's see. Yes, that's what he was doing. Anyway, back to Foley. See, we said off air a little while ago, here's an interesting development that's occurred with the Foley guy. The Republican Party, because they've been so influenced by the liberal wing of the Republican Party, they've toned down and kind of gotten sissy chicken in some areas, and they've let some things occur. Now, one of which is they're so afraid of the media and the gay agenda that the Foley guy probably should never have been a committee chairman. Now,
he should never have been a congressman.
Well, wait, I can't say what the people of his district do. That I don't have any say over who elects whom. I can't control
right
that.
There.
Now,
yeah.
I mean, you know, wait a minute now. But the party could have certain say on what committees he's on and where he fits and sits as it pertains to a committee. Now, but you see, the Republicans are so chicken, they're so weenified because they're afraid of the gay agenda, they're afraid of the media. Now, it's kind of like having as I mentioned to you earlier, it's kind of like this affirmative action. You eventually will have a doctor doing knee surgery who, quite frankly, probably should not have been a doctor. Now, we're not mad at the guy. We just recognize the guy probably shouldn't have been a doctor. He should have been something else, okay? Well, we've got Foley, and hey, wait a minute. Are you going to bring up Ken Mellman?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, Ken Mellman, I guess, is... I'm really curious to see how those boys start spinning it.
Yeah. Because
generally what the Republicans do is, and in fact, I think Michael Savage already started on it last night by blaming those evil kids on the actions of Foley. Now, another thing that really kind of gets to me here is that stalking and making sexual solicitations to minors is a crime in our country. And in fact, the bill that Foley put forward made it a more severe crime than prior to that. So the bottom line to me is the people, the Republican Party leaders that knew about Foley a year ago, why didn't they share the evidence of this criminal activity with the FBI? Why isn't Hastert being investigated for obstructing justice? Essentially, when you know a crime's going on in front of you and you don't inform the authorities, you're basically party to that crime. So the whole GOP leadership is as guilty as Foley for supporting gay pedophilia.
Well,
now you tell me, name one Democrat that has been in this position.
Hang on.
Name one Democrat.
Barney Frank, and they didn't even ask him to resign. He had a male...
No, he was a gay.
He had a male prostitution ring running out of his apartment, and the party didn't even ask him to resign. But let's get back to this, because this is good. Now, Foley... 16-year-old is not pedophilia. That's homosexual sex. Pedophilia is 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old. 16.
I regard pedophilia as sex with a minor. I believe that's the legal definition.
Well, that may be the statutory position in certain states, but that's not pedophilia according to the American Psychological Association.
Oh, okay. Okay, let's draw.
No, wait.
Then it's okay to do 16-year-old kids.
No,
I see.
Now I know the GOP position that it's okay to have. No, you don't understand. There's three levels of gay activity. There's the pedophile, the pederast, and then the open homosexual. Now, hang on a minute. It's okay to learn something, Greg.
Okay.
Pedophilia is what you're thinking about, which is the young boys, 5 years old, 6 years old. That's pedophilia.
Okay.
Pederasty. Now, you can find that in the dictionary.
Yeah, okay.
Pederast.
Right.
Pederasty.
Okay.
Okay. Now, they prefer the 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old.
Well, the older ones.
A little older. Okay. And then just the homosexual sex is the 15, 16 and up. Now, my point is, yes, there are levels. But here's the thing I want said. It's all part of the gay world. It's all part of the sodomy agenda. Now, for some reason, though, we tend to agree that the pederists and the pedophiles, that should be off limits. And I agree it should.
Oh, and I guess homosexual activity with, say, 16-year-olds is okay?
No, I don't think it's okay ever. But see, my point is, the Republicans are chicken to stand up. What would the gay agenda do if the Republicans stood up and said that? What would the media do?
Answer me this, Jenny, because this is something I really don't get. You know, our sons, our daughters, our grandsons, and our granddaughters are spilling their blood over in the sands of Iraq, and you people lose sleep at night fearing gay people? Why do you fear gay people, James?
I don't have that.
Boy, I know everybody else thinks they're going to pull down the country. The worst thing that ever happened. No, the worst thing that ever happened is losing your kid. I don't lose any sleep at night thinking that somebody's going to break into my house and bugger me in my sleep.
No, I don't, you know? I don't either.
And I really don't understand why you people are so afraid of gay people.
We're not.
Well, boy, you sure act like it.
No, see, you've turned. It's 15 till. We got to go to break. We'll be back in just a minute.
And now, back to News and Views with your host, James Williamson.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. About 9.5 minutes before the hour of 10 o'clock, I have a guest in the studio this morning, Greg Forrest, a musician, writer, author, entertainer. Many of you know him, hear him, see him, because he is a very talented musician. And I understand Greg says, you know, James, I want to say something about one of the events I played at over the weekend. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I played here in Kerrville Saturday night, and I went on a little political rant, I think a couple Jägermeisters to the wind there, and it would have made the Dixie Chicks or Steve Earle blush. And so I would like to apologize to my audience. This will be last time, because I've been apologizing all weekend. So I just wanted to say, sorry, audience, I won't be doing that again. And the other thing I'd like to do on another musical note is there's a local band here called Segovia. And last April, they had a number one record on the CCMA, the Contemporary Christian Music Association charts. They had a number one record on the country swing charts. Well, on September 26, that record wound up being the Western Swing Album of the Year, and I'd just like to congratulate the local boys here for going to number one
that?
And to going to Album of the Year. And that was against the Sleep at the Wheel and the Texas Playboys.
Now, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Can you recollect the names of the people in Segovia?
Oh, sure.
Would you say them for our audience?
Oh, yes. Reed Wells, I guess, is the primary songwriter and singer, and his brother Carson Wells, a world-renowned steel guitarist. They pretty much produced the record. And then David Spangler, Mickey Rice, and Guy Davis were the primary members of Segovia that are the regular band members. And a couple of their guest stars were Bobby Flores and the fabulous Floyd Domino on piano. So just a big congratulations to you guys, because having a band from Kerrville get the Album of the Year is a pretty big accomplishment.
Very good. Very good. Had we said that over on the 94.3 side? Do we know that?
I just serviced that side of the radio with their new CD, and Reed's got a brand new CD out, too. So
okay, good.
Hopefully
good.
You'll be hearing a lot of them on the air here.
Well, good. All right, I appreciate that. Now, so we got the apology done. We've alerted the audiences to the significant success of Segovia. That's great. All right. Now, we're going to move off a little bit of the Foley fellow from Florida and talk about Frist. Is that what you want to do?
Oh, I don't care. Yeah, I mean, we can go back to
all right,
that.
It's who just, is Frist? Let's make my audience know. Who is Frist?
He was a big GOP leader. I think he was Speaker of the House for a while, wasn't he? Or
well,
he's, the GOP.
He's,
no,
he's, in the, he's in the Senate. He's the majority leader.
Okay, so he's the majority leader.
And, in the U.S. Senate.
And Frist knew about it, and Hastert knew about it a year ago. They knew that this pedophile was out there. And it was really kind of funny, because I was reading a couple articles, like when the congressional pages would go in, other Republican leaders were telling him to watch out for Foley. So I guess there was some a warning to the pages to watch out for our gay pedophilian flow. You know, I can't do the three F's
be
like
careful
you did.
our Foley fellow from
Foley
Florida.
Fellow from Florida.
now, but see here, Greg, isn't this interesting? This is a behavior that's common in a block of people that vote Democrat, and it's a tiny element of a group of people that vote Republican. But isn't it interesting that it's surfacing over on the Republican side now? Because I get to ask this question. Why isn't the gay agenda crowd defending Foley? Why have you not heard one single Democrat homosexual stand up for Foley? How come you or let's turn the table. Why hadn't there been one Democrat homosexual expressing outrage? Either way, have you heard either?
I think regardless of your sexual orientation, every Democrat I know is outraged about this.
I don't know.
And I'll bet you...
I don't know that. It's now, there's political outrage, I understand, and I'm agreeing with you. But have you heard anybody in the gay agenda express outrage over what this fella may have done? We don't know yet.
Yeah.
He may have, though.
Oh, well, you know, I don't know. I don't really want to go there because I don't want to allege something that hasn't even come to light yet.
Now,
but the bottom line is the GOP leadership knew
for a year
and did nothing. And if he did commit some kind of crime during that year, then they're culpable.
Okay, now, but you're admitting then that there's something wrong with that behavior.
There's something wrong with, let's say, and I'd love to see if I had, I wish I had some Foley campaign speeches or something when he would talk about pedophilia and talk about homosexuality. Do I have a problem with that? Of course I do. As far
Good.
As the Democratic gay agenda, their Democratic gay agenda, as far as I understand it, is that gays shouldn't be discriminated against. I look at it, you know, and here's what I think about gay people. I might as well get this up front. I look at gay people as having a problem that is biologically incorrect. So when I look at a gay person, I look at a gay person just like somebody I look at as a diabetic. It's unfortunate, but it's not something I'm going to go and discriminate against a diabetic because they have to take insulin.
I agree.
I am not going to discriminate against a gay because he's got a genetic predisposition for being effeminate.
I agree.
Okay, but that's the gay agenda of the Democrats. They just don't want gays to be discriminated against.
I agree.
Just like now, I wouldn't want to...
However...
Their agenda is not to make everybody in the U.S. gay.
However, I'm not going to let them run that behavior down our throats in the schools. I'm not going to let them run that behavior down our throats by changing laws and definition of marriage and definition of family, because of course that's exactly what they're trying to do. Now, all that having been said, let's move from Foley. The Foley fellow from Florida is in deep stuff.
He is. I'm trying to think of something that starts with an F.
Yeah, be careful. He's in deep stuff. Okay, now let's talk about.
He fouled up.
Let's talk about October 11th, Karl Rove. I don't even know what that's
about. Well, just some whispers out on the internet, and they made some financial advisor. I'm sorry I didn't bring that printout with me, but they're saying Karl Rove's got an October 11th surprise for us. And oddly enough, some of the big GOP supporters, the same kind of people that were taking put calls in before 9/11, and I'm not a 9/11 conspiracy nut. Please, you know, don't. It's not that I believe everything the 9/11 Commission said, but do I think that our government was complicit in the 9/11 attack? Absolutely not. You know, I mean, they may have been incompetent, but they're not behind Al-Qaeda. Hello. I mean, we trained bin Laden, sure, but, basically, he jumped away from our team after the Soviets left Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And,
okay, but Karl Rove, it's being reported, is up to something.
Yeah, and he's telling big fundraisers that he's got something up his sleeve for October 11th. Now, he might have to put it off to the 12th now that the cat's out of the bag, but I'm just curious. We'll find out. I just wanted to go on record as saying, let's see what happens October 11th. You know, because they are putting in put calls, and that generally means something. They believe something's going to happen on October 11th. That's a specific day for the calls. That'll drive the market down. So, obviously, it's not going to be a good thing because the market would go through the ceiling if they brought the head of bin Laden, whipped it out on October 11th. They generally don't put calls in for good news. So, I don't know what it is, but I think let's just sit back and see if there's anything to that story.
All right.
Now, I would like to talk about our buddy Bill Frist. What is Bill Frist doing going into Afghanistan and telling the Taliban that they're going to have a place in the new government? These are the guys that supported Al-Qaeda. So Bill Frist is on the ground in Afghanistan supporting Al-Qaeda's supporters. Come back with me on that, James. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about shedding the blood of our soldiers on the grounds of Afghanistan and we turn around and put the government in that we took out?
Well, first of all,
I quote Bill Frist? You want me to quote him?
Well, my point getting ready to be, first of all, I have not read that in my voluminous reading anywhere. I have not read that yet, so I don't know what to say. Now, if it's true, here comes a call. If it's true, of course, I'm not going to be pleased about it. Now, if it's a negotiating point that down the way, talking to those people, if you'll put down the arms and quit acting like jerks, there's a chance in the future you could be a part of this nation's governing source. Well, that's a different animal, but I don't know that.
Well, hell, we were told.
We got to go. Okay. Now, we're coming back after the break. People, don't worry. This is KERV 1230 AM and KMBL 1450. We got another hour. Don't leave. Come on back.
Stay tuned for another full hour of News and Views with James Williamson on the Hill Country Radio Network.
Welcome back. Good morning again, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday, October 3rd. Yes, this is News and Views, and this is live and Junction. I hope you're awake out there and listening in Kerrville and all the points in between. We got a call coming in. I have an idea that we may have stirred somebody up with Greg Forrest in studio this morning. And Greg, glad to have you. It's always fun to have you.
Oh, we have a good time, James.
And I mean that.
Well, I really enjoy doing the articles on Hill Country Happenings, too. It's kind of Crossfire or something, right?
Yes.
I get to be the
Alan
Combs of Kerrville here.
Do we have a call? First name in town.
J.W., this is Bill.
Hey, Bill in Kerrville.
How you doing?
Talk to us.
Just a minute, I got to get my turban on.
Okay, get your turban
talk
on.
To you. Well, listen, man. You know, I hear you two guys talking, and it's interesting conversation, and should elicit, you know, a lot of response. I hear Greg say that he's adamant about the fact that the Republican authority was aware of Mark Foley's biological problems. But, you know, it's not biological, it's psychological. And it's a short between the headsets. And these people are very compulsive. They react on stimulus. And the stimulus is a handsome young man or a cute little girl or a cute little boy. Whereas normal people would say, my, isn't that a beautiful child? That doesn't flash in their mind. Degrading, despicable, disgusting things flash in their mind, and they can't control it. And whenever I hear someone say that, you know, like you, Greg, you said it was like somebody having a diabetic problem, you wouldn't discriminate against them. Now, I don't know if you've been around a lot of these people, and it's good that you, in a humanitarian way, that you really don't want to take these people apart, and they are human beings. However, they're faulted human beings. These people have a problem that they cannot control, and anyone that lets them around their children, teach their children, because they have an agenda, and the more of them, it validates what they are. The less of them invalidates what they are. And as far as politicians go, you're talking about Frist over in Afghanistan spouting off about this and that, and you say, well, it's, you know, letting the blood of our sons and daughters. Well, you know, if you look in history, not too far back, FDR and what's his name, Harry Truman, why, you know, they let the communists kill millions of people simply because they didn't have the resolve. And they thought, well, I don't want to spend any more blood of American men. And look what happened. For many, many decades, these people ran rampant. They took away the rights, the human rights, the dignity of people, and they murdered and slaughtered them by the millions.
I would say part of the difference between that, the containment of communism, and let's say the containment of fundamentalist Islam, is the fact that the communists had, I believe, somewhere in the neighborhood of 30,000 nuclear weapons pointed at us.
Well, not in the beginning.
There was a pretty
good... What I'm referring to, this happened in the early 40s. They stole everything they got, and it was given to them by Westerners, people who thought that if we let everybody have the same thing, then there shall be no problem, no more war. That is convoluted thinking.
Well, was there a nuclear war between the United States and Russia?
No.
It looks like the policy worked, didn't it?
No, it
is
didn't
there a Russia,
work.
Is there a Soviet? Is there a Soviet Union left? Is there a Soviet Union left?
You ask that to the millions of people who died, and of course you can't ask them, and you ask that of their relatives, the distant ones. you asked
that. Let me ask you a question. What did Joe Stalin do? What was, like, the procedure?
What was that?
Well, let's talk about Joe Stalin, since it looks like we're talking about the Stalinist era of Soviet
Union.
What did Joe Stalin do? Well, in my recollection, if I remember right, if you were a political opponent of Joe Stalin, they would come into your house, and they would take you away to Siberia and probably torture you and re-educate you, and basically you had, again, no rights or anything. Gosh, it sounds like a lot of the provisions under the Patriot Act.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Well, you can take a U.S. citizen. Can arrest and prosecute.
Wait a minute. I will say this. I will agree with one point you're talking about. There shall not be, as far as I'm concerned, anything that takes away the rights of Americans. And you talk about undignified positions. When you get on an airplane, or even trying to get on an airplane, you're probed and probed by a bunch of idiots that don't even know what the hell they're doing, and are just so ate up with a little itty-bitty power they got. And that is an extension of a politician. A politician is not a pragmatist. Joe Stalin was a pragmatic man. He killed you. That's what he did. And he killed your mother and your daughters and everybody else whenever they decided, he decided. And when all this was going on, like in the 30s and then during World War II and at the meetings at Yalta and Tehran, the United States gave up everything just because they thought, well, we'll save American lives. You know what? Just not American lives. It's all the lives of good people.
I agree with you, sir.
Okay,
you
know, Bill.
What?
Let's come back around to right now.
Uh-huh.
Today. All right, today, the Democrat Party, would you tell me anything they've proposed to solve the financial crisis at Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, war on poverty, or the war on terror? Would you tell me anything they've recommended for any of those issues today?
Well, I can't really think of anything other than screw it up more.
Well, I can think of one thing.
What?
Right off the top of my head. Perhaps maybe we should let some of the let's just go with a real small sliver here. Let's say the highest half of 1% of the wealthiest people in this nation start paying their fair share.
Now, Greg,
that would help a little bit.
That
on Social
is a
Security.
Where did you hear that? That's a lie. That is a lie. I have proved it over and over.
Yeah.
Wall Street Journal did that 2 weeks ago. Showed you the latest statistics, and that's a lie.
That the richest 1% don't get the highest tax.
Absolute lie. They pay more taxes than anybody else.
As a percentage of their income. A percentage of their income, James?
And the point is, you want to punish success and reward failure. Is that where you're going?
Well,
wait a minute. Is that the point? Just because they're successful, they should pay higher? Excuse me? I'm going to quote you something.
How about a flat tax?
I don't mind. The Democrats won't let you. I don't mind a flat tax.
Now, what about this? You know, everybody talks about taxes. But there's one thing that they fail to mention when they're talking about taxes. If you're so concerned, now I'm not saying you as a singular, it's plural, and I mean even our audience, you've got to understand. We have to understand that a certain amount of money is required for an individual and a family, and it depends on how big that family is, and as that family is either three people, four people, or five or six, each individual, it takes so much money to give dignity to life. And when you start taxing people that make $40,000 and $50,000 and $60,000 a year, and you start taxing them at $10,000, $12,000, $13,000, $14,000, $15,000, you're taking away life's blood. You're taking away dignity. So there has to be a point where no taxes are paid, because we all pay taxes. Every time you buy a loaf of bread, there's a built-in 50 cents in a loaf of bread. I remember when we could buy five loaves of bread for a dollar. Now you're lucky to get one loaf for $2.99.
All right, now we're going to run into a break here. Just a second, though. Let me point out something. This is page A14, May the 4th, 2006. It's Wall Street Journal. This is not James. Between 2001 and 2004, the most recent data, which is complete, the percentage of federal income taxes paid by those with $200,000 of income and above rose from 40.5% to 46.6%. In other words, out of every 100 Americans, the wealthiest three are now paying close to the same amount of taxes as the other 97 combined. Now, you're not going to be passing that Democrat crap lies off here because I just stopped it. Wait, I'm not through. Now here's Wall Street Journal, April 15th and 16th, page A5, 2006. Last year, the IRS processed 132 million income tax returns and brought in $2.27 trillion in tax revenue, a 7% increase since 2000. By the way, that's the largest tax revenue in the history of mankind into this country. But the Democrats told us the tax cuts would starve the government. They lied through their ever-living teeth, and I'm not going to let anybody come on this program and tell their lies, even though you may not have meant to. Now, wait, I'm not through. The U.S. tax system is progressive, which means that people with high incomes pay a higher percentage of their income in taxes than the low income. Currently, here's your number.
Okay.
The 1% of American households with the highest incomes, those earning an average of $1 million a year or more, pay 31% of their income in federal taxes, including payroll tax and income tax. The 20% of households with the lowest incomes, those earning about $15,000, pay less than 5% of their earnings in income taxes. Now, all I wanted to do was say, wait a minute, the bottom crowd already contributes almost nothing because they basically get it back in income tax refund, and then a whole bunch of them also get earned income tax credit, which means they didn't give anything in that, and they got my money back. We're out of time for the break. Bill,
well,
we got to go.
What? I never got anything and always paid.
Yeah, I understand. We got to go to break. We'll be back. We'll be back. Don't leave. We'll be right back after this break.
Classic Car Care Center is now under the big red roof at 506 Junction Highway.
You're listening to News and Views with your host, James Williamson. To talk to James, call 792-5378 or toll free 877-274-8916.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. 20 minutes after the hour, Greg Forrest in studio with me. Welcome back, Greg.
Hey, James. Great. Thanks for having me. Boy, Bill had some good comments, didn't he?
Bill's an interesting fella. Now, let me remind you of something else in the world of the taxes and who pays them and who doesn't pay them and so on. And it's, let me go back to 2003. Now, this is in my mind's eye, not on this piece of paper. When the Democrats said, oh, the Republicans are trying to starve the government. Now, by that, it was related to the proposal of tax cuts. Okay? So Bush's crowd proposed tax cuts. All right. The answer to cutting taxes, the Democrats said, you'd starve the government. We wouldn't have the revenue we need for the government. You're going to push the grandmother out on the front yard of the nursing home in a wheelchair and make her eat dog food. Folks, we heard that story over and over from the Democrats. Now, let's talk about whether the Democrat, I'm going to quote my friend here in town, Kevin, is the Democrat stupid or is the Democrat a liar? Which is it? Now, wait, I got statistics in front of me. The Bush tax cuts are going to starve the government. Hillary Clinton said that. Nancy Pelosi said that. They said the Bush tax cuts will starve the government. Well, I just read the article to you that said... Now, this is Wall Street Journal, April 15th and 16th, page A5, 2006. Last year, the IRS processed 132 million income tax returns and brought in $2.27 trillion. That's the largest tax revenue to the Treasury in the history of the United States of America. Now, I'm going to prove a point, which says, according to my friend Kevin, the Democrats are either stupid. Now, by that I mean in economics. I don't mean in flying airplanes and doing heart surgery. That's not where I'm taking you. The Democrats are either stupid economically or they're liars. Now, my point being, they knew what the tax cut would do, and they didn't want that to accrue to a Republican, so they lied about what the effect would be. Now, wait, that's one article. Here's another one. So, in the tax returns brought in $2.27 trillion, largest in the history of America. So tax cuts weren't the problem. Wait, I got another one. This is Tuesday, September 19th, 2006. The U.S. government recorded the highest overall level of individual and corporate tax receipts on September 15th in the history of the United States of America. $85.8 billion came into the Treasury on one day. Highest day ever. Now, all I'm pointing out, Greg, is that we don't have a problem of revenue. We have a problem of spending. And spending is stark raving out of control.
Oh, I can't argue with you on that one, James. But one little thing you were saying that, Hillary and everybody was talking. Now, I'm not sure if my attribution is correct here, but it was a major GOP strategist. I think it was William Kristol. But I believe he said, prior to George Bush going into office, and this is not a direct quote, it's just a paraphrase, but he said the mission of the GOP was to make the federal government small enough to drown in a bathtub. Have you ever heard that term,
Mm-mm.
James? Yeah.
Mm-mm.
It was out there for quite a while. Mm-hmm. So when Hillary Clinton says that's their agenda, well, it's coming from the horse's mouth. They said, yes, we want this government downsized to the point where we don't have one. And I think that's, if that's where you want to go, that's cool.
I think we got a call. Let's go
okay. There.
First name in town.
James, Mike from Kerrville.
Hey, Mike, talk to us, man.
Well, I just got to say that, it's a laudable strategy to lower tax rates to try to drive economic prosperity. But for this sad group of Republicans that are currently running our government, it's just not enough. James, I mean, you're quoting the increasing revenue coming into the government's kitty, but it's all about borrow and spend.
There's three areas that my conservative Christian Republican bones totally, completely, absolutely disagree with the Republican Party. Spending out of control, borders are wide open, and what was the third one? I just went blank.
Pedophilia, James.
But I've always been against that. It's the Democrats that have embraced it, so that's not the point.
That is untrue, James.
The borders was the third.
You've got to come to the lick log, James, on that one, because you keep saying that it's just a small little incipiency bit of the Republican Party, and you know that that's not true.
Well, relative to the Republican Party, it's a small part of the party, but it is part of it.
What are we talking about, pedophilia or corruption here?
Foley.
Deviant sexual lifestyle.
And there's a part of the Republican Party because they've caved in and accepted part of the gay agenda because they're afraid to stand up against it.
Well, they put up a constitutional amendment. I'd call it standing up against it, wouldn't you, James? That got blown away. Why? Because they knew the U.S. public doesn't feel the way the far right does about
gays. Oh, you're wrong, Greg. America agrees with the Christian community on this agenda. They don't agree with the Democrats.
Why didn't that amendment pass?
The Democrats blocked it in the Senate.
They don't own the Senate, James.
The Democrats can block it because they can stop cloture, because you got to have over 60. And so four or five Republicans side with the Democrats,
yep.
And you're dead in the water.
There you go. So we had five Republican traitors that made
easily,
that happen.
Oh, easily. Five or six.
Let me ask you one more thing. You were saying you were...
Well, wait. Let Mike
go.
Really, on the issue of homosexuality, it's beyond the legislative branch currently, because that group has been given a federally protected status by our Supreme Court. I mean, it's on every non-discriminatory statement by our federal government. And so really where we are now is that it's a matter of doing it with minors. And in terms of what the law of our land is. And so, James, I know you've got a heartfelt issue with this, and so do many Christians, and I understand that. I do too. But our government has endorsed it as a legitimate lifestyle. We are not to discriminate against it. And so now we're left with protecting minors, both heterosexually as well as homosexually. And, unless we get a change in our Supreme Court away from what this current Republican regime has appointed, because they don't look like they are interested in changing the Supreme Court's opinion on that, and it's ritualistic on the Republican side as well as Democrats. James, you and I have talked about that before, as well as just personal physical behavior. Now, moving back to this, the economics of government. You know, I read a fact the other day that just floored me. Guess how, what a percentage of our gross domestic product is currently in the red?
I don't understand that. I don't know what you mean by asking that. I don't follow that.
Well, how much debt service we are carrying as a country, so to speak, in ratio to our gross domestic product.
Yeah, I think banks look at it as your ability to pay. They look at it as
exactly
how much I can. And right now, if I was a foreign government, I wouldn't be investing in the United States Treasury.
And they're not. They're running
no
away.
And if they pull out, what's that going to do? If they pull out completely,
that's going to leave us in further collapse.
Okay, but that's back to what I just said about there's three areas I totally disagree. Spending out of control, the illegal aliens, and the border, because the Republicans have done nothing about those three.
And James, I don't know what there is left for you to support this current Republican regime.
Do you think I'm going to support a Democrat that wants to kill unborn babies and marry two men? Excuse me?
Well, no, he would much rather support homosexual child abuser.
Which, of course...
They don't want the theoretical. They're going to support the ones
you know
that are out
we might
there in
find
the field
out,
doing
You know what
it.
We might find out? Something I espoused 3 years ago, and when I said it on News and Views 3 years ago, I'll tell you what, the Democrats like to wet their britches. I said, you know what? We may find out one day that the log cabin Republicans, now that's the gays that are in the Republican Party, you know what we may find out one day? They were plants from the Democrats to water down the Republican message, to water down people with ethics and morals. We may find out one day that was a really wise strategy, and the gay community thought it up with the Democrats. They put them over in the Republican Party, and then you see what we get? We get a Foley fellow from Florida because we're so chicken of hurting somebody's feelings.
Well, James, rhinos all across the board in the Republican Party.
Yes, it's 10:30. We got to go to break.
Okay, well, it's 64% is our debt to GDP ratio.
Cut spending, cut programs,
quit wars,
cut
make everybody pay their fair share.
Of course, the wealthy pay most of it now. We're going to go to break, and
no,
we'll be back in just a minute. Thanks,
Thank
Mike.
You. Thank you.
And now, back to James Williamson with News and Views.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We got a few more minutes here this morning on this Tuesday the 3rd with Greg. Now, Greg, we have a topic that we've not talked about, and we should.
No, I think it's something
we need to touch on. We need to torture somebody. Probably the audience this morning
with
this segment of the program. Speaking of torture.
Well, it's just, you know, when I look around, like I was talking to you, I guess, last time I was on the air, it's like, okay, are we a people that do have moral values? Are we a people that have ethics? Are we a people that want to be lowered to the level of the people that we're doing battle against? The Geneva Conventions were put in place for a very, very, very good reason. I don't know if anybody out there within the sound of my voice might have been on the Bataan Death March, but you probably know what I'm talking about if you were a soldier in World War II. Right after World War II, we said, this inhumane treatment of prisoners cannot go on anymore. And the United States and the Allies formed the Geneva Convention. And I don't see how we can stand up to the world and say we have the moral and we have the ethical high ground when we're going to go out and torture people. I was totally stunned last week when people like John McCain would fold over and bend. Because what the bottom line is on that issue to me, James, is this. Prior to last week, if you violated the Geneva Convention as part of an official policy of the United States government, or even otherwise, it was a federal offense, in some cases punishable up into death. So what they did here, George Bush basically pardoned himself. Law Forward, to me, says that George Bush is making an implicit confession of crimes against humanity.
All right, here we go. Let's talk about this now. The Democrats, the liberals, people who are espousing your point are in the minority in America. All the polling shows that America does not give a rip about panties on the head of a terrorist at Abu Ghraib. They do not see panties as being torture. They don't see piling them up naked in a pile. And by the way, the government didn't do that. Two or three of the people did it on their own, and they've since been held accountable and have been tried and been convicted. So that wasn't the government's decision. That was those individuals. But nonetheless, I'm not trying trying to defend what they did. I'm saying the terrorists cut our heads off. We put panties on their head. Oh, that's torture. We made them hear loud music. Oh, that's torture. They cut our heads off. And by the way, terrorists do not have a Bill of Rights. The Constitution does not apply to terrorists, although the Democrats are saying that it does. Now, and by the way, I think it's interesting that the Geneva Convention gets brought up, because the reading I've done says the Geneva Convention does not apply to terrorists, because the terrorists are not a state.
Well, I know where your reading comes from, James. Of course, yep. The right wing is going to say we have the right to torture anybody we want because we're in power.
Again, playing loud music and making it cold in a room and taking off their clothes. Oh, that's terrible.
James,
I'm so embarrassed.
James, do you really think that's the limit of what's going on?
I'm so embarrassed.
Do you think that's the limit of what's going on in these detention centers in Syria?
We took their clothes off and made them hear loud music. I'm so embarrassed.
Okay, James, so that's what you think we send them to Syria for? To listen to loud music? James, you really think that's why we ship them off to those countries?
By the way, I want our government to do what it takes to defend this country, unlike what the Democrats want.
Regardless of whether it's moral or ethical, correct?
I want the CIA to do anything it takes to defend this country from being destroyed by the liberal Democrat internally and the terrorist externally.
Are you telling me the CIA wasn't doing this before?
I hope they were.
They were, and they were doing covertly. What's happened, though, is now we have codified, as part of the legal structure of our nation,
that
torture is legal in the United States
now. And most of America doesn't mind, because they want our country.
And they're not going to mind summary executions either.
I don't care if we execute a terrorist who's found guilty of committing a terrorist act against us.
The majority of this country was against integration.
And the Republicans had to bring that about because the Democrats in the South
I remember all those Republicans marching in the streets of Selma.
I remember
all the Republicans at the side of Martin Luther King. I remember lots of Republicans.
You're missing something, Greg. Who voted to pass the Civil Rights Matters? The Republicans had to help or it wouldn't have happened.
Who put the Civil Rights Act forward?
I have no clue. Don't remember.
Golly. LBJ, a Democrat.
Good.
John F. Kennedy.
Good.
A Democrat.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
So you're against civil
it.
Rights, James? Was that a big mistake?
No.
Allowing black
of
people to vote?
Not. Of course not.
Okay. Well, we went to the moral high ground there.
Of course not.
And
now,
let's talk right now, not
50 years ago. Who is it right now that wants to undermine the integrity of the vote? The Democrats voted last week against requiring a picture ID to vote. The Democrats voted against it, not the Republicans.
Let's talk about Diebold then, if you want to talk about the integrity of the vote, James.
Have
you seen how you can hack a Diebold machine in 60 seconds flat?
And the point being?
The point being that every time there's an election irregularity in the last two elections, why do all the irregularities of the elections fall on the GOP side?
It didn't. The only
Every single one, James,
Greg,
in Ohio
Greg,
and
Greg,
in Florida.
Greg. The only proven voter fraud in the last two elections, Democrats did it.
Oh, where was that, James?
One was in Ohio. One was in Michigan. One was in, just a minute, in Florida.
Oh, I love it. You're telling me that the Democrats went ahead and made sure that Bush won in Ohio?
There was a lot of alleged stuff. The only proven voter fraud, the Democrats did it in the last two presidential elections. Now, that aside, let's go on. I want the Republican Party to be held accountable. But you see, I'm that way because I'm conservative, not because I'm Republican. Now, on the other side of the coin, the Democrat never says that. They let Bill Clinton have a walk. They didn't care that he did or didn't rape Juanita Broderick. They didn't care because he was Democrat, and they were Democrat before they were an American. I'm a conservative Christian American before I'm a Republican. So the Foley guy, he needs to be walked through whatever the legal process requires, because I don't know the procedures, because he's from Florida.
Well, no, he does the same thing. He runs into therapy real quick for alcoholism, kind of like Rush Limbaugh when they caught him.
No, that would be like the Kennedy kid. That would be like the Kennedy
right,
kid.
Right, well, that basically...
That would be like the Kennedy
it's
kid.
It's the cop-out.
Well, okay, now, I want him to be held to whatever standard it is, because I don't know how that works in Florida, okay? They elected him. I didn't, okay?
Well, the crime was committed in Washington, D.C. It doesn't matter what they did in Florida, what they think
well,
in Florida.
I'm saying...
I'll bet the people who voted for him are pretty upset right now.
Well, they keep electing Kennedy in Massachusetts. They keep electing Barney Frank. Nobody seems to care.
Well, you know, but the people in those states aren't losing any sleep over gays. They're not scared. They're not scared like the Southern people are about gays. They're not scared like the Christians are.
Well, we're not trying to redefine marriage or family. The Democrats are.
I don't know why you're so scared of them.
Family already has
in the night.
Family already has a definition.
The gays are coming. Let's
run. Marriage has a definition, and who's trying to undermine it? It's not the Republicans. It's the Democrats.
Well, what would you have against, you know, two people having a relationship?
They already can. The laws are in place to do that.
Well, they don't get spousal benefits and stuff like that.
They shouldn't, because they're not a spouse. Spouse has a definition.
Well, let's put it this way. If that relationship is heterosexual, those rights are granted.
No, not necessarily.
In most cases.
I've had a board-certified attorney, estate planning and family law. I've had them on my program. I have had them say, point blank, you can already do almost everything that the gay agenda and the Democrats are trying to promote. The two homosexuals can come together. They can go to the law office. They can get the wills done to meet their needs. They can get durable power of attorney for both the person and the assets right now. They can already do that. They can bequest, they can bequeath whatever they jolly well want right now. The lawyers can draft the instruments today under current law to meet all those needs. Now, they can buy life insurance and name the beneficiaries. They can buy their health insurance. Now, all of that's already in place.
Privately.
But you see...
Privately.
So, the point being...
Well, unfortunately, they don't get any of the advantages of the legal part of a union. You see, you're saying, yeah, well, anybody can go buy insurance.
They can already do all this. Now, but see, here's my point.
They can't get the Social Security benefits of their dead partner.
And they should
not.
And they should not, because they're not married. Marriage is a man and a woman. It's not two men or a man and a dog.
Well, listen,
it has a definition, and you're trying to redefine it. I'm not going to let you. And neither will a society either, by the way.
Okay, well, I guess, you know, time will prove that out.
No,
but, you know,
no,
one thing
no.
I do want to
no,
say...
No, God then, may settle it, because we may have Sodom and Gomorrah all over again.
Oh, well, I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah, who was the hero of that story, James? Lot. What did Lot do? We're back to a good Christian value. Lot raped, statutorily raped, both of his daughters and knocked him up and created the tribe of Midianites. Oh, okay, so I'm going down to Kerrville Courthouse, charged with statutory rape, and I go, Judge, Your Honor, they got me drunk, not once, but twice.
Yeah,
they got me drunk.
Yeah,
they did it.
Well,
it's the victim's fault.
No,
what would the judge? What would the judge do to me if I came up with that defense, James?
Well,
what would the judge say to me, Mister?
Your comment. Is
oh, Mister Forrest, you knocked up both your daughters, and they got you drunk. It's case dismissed.
No.
Case
the comment dismissed. Ignores the fact that Sodom and Gomorrah was held accountable because of a behavior.
But
the behavior was abominable in God's eyes.
Right. And Lot was not held accountable, was he?
I don't have an answer to that right now. We're out of time. We've enjoyed this segment of the program. I got a few more stories that we're going to have after the 9:45 break. Now, hang on, Greg.
Yes, sir.
Glad to have you.
Oh, James, thanks
for having
me.
We talked about Foley and Karl Rove and Bill Frist and Congress and spending and torture.
I'm exhausted.
We did good.
I'm exhausted.
We had fun.
We
glad to have
do.
You in.
We always do.
All right, we got to go to break. We'll be back in just a minute.